is that many, maybe most, excuses involve lying. Telling the truth has become less important than saving face or avoiding blame. Today, I'd like for us to look at two related topics, lying and telling the truth. Put it another way, telling a lie and being honest. My title of the message is To Tell the Truth. When I was growing up, if you called someone a liar, those were fighting words. Nowadays, it doesn't seem to bother anyone when they're caught in a lie. No big deal. Everybody does it. We've slid from little white lies to whatever we feel like saying. It seems strange that we've become so prone to lying at a time when it's very easy to check out the truth. The problem is there don't seem to be many consequences if you're caught in a lie. In other words, it doesn't seem to matter if you're caught in a lie. Definitely not the immediate consequences that we read about in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. Today, I'd like for us to look at the importance of not only telling the truth, but of living it. One of the reasons that lying is worth a deeper look is because it might be at or near the very top of the things that we can continue to do long after conversion. We probably don't do it with intent, as Ananias and Sapphira did, but through carelessness. Let's start with a few definitions, nothing that most of us aren't already aware of. The American Heritage Dictionary defines a lie as a false statement deliberately presented as being true. The second definition, something meant to deceive or give a wrong impression. And another, something that is simply not true. So lying can be giving false information with the intention of deceiving, conveying a false image or impression, or passing on information that is not true, even if we don't realize it's not true. That's something that we're not always very good about, fact-checking when something agrees with what we think is true. Truth is conformity to fact or actuality. All of its nuances imply accuracy and honesty. Honesty means truthfulness. There's an expression that people have, and that's the honest truth. What other kind can there be? I gave you some dictionary definitions. What about the Bible? I can recall a verse in the Bible that I can't recall a verse in the Bible that says a lie is, but we can find false comments about the fate of those who do lie, so we know how God feels about it. And many scriptures spell out exactly what he thinks of lying. The first point I'd like for us to consider is the fact that the ninth commandment doesn't actually say, don't lie. Let's look at what the ninth commandment says in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 16. We read that it says, you shall not bear false witness. And then going over to Exodus 23, verse 1. I'll read that from the NIV. Exodus 23, verse 1. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. All of these verses might imply to someone that the only time that we're commanded to tell the truth is if we're in a court of law. However, that conclusion would require us to ignore an abundance of other scriptures. Proverbs 14, verse 5. In Proverbs 14, verse 5, we read, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. To me, that seems to indicate that bearing false witness is the equivalent of lying, as so that Exodus 20, verse 16 could easily be translated, you shall not lie. Proverbs 19, verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Though the ninth commandment may literally say you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, do we think that God means that other types of lying are okay? I think we understand that that's certainly not the case. While the words might literally mean we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor, we understand that anything false is to be avoided by a true Christian, and that all mankind is our neighbor. Here's what Adam Clark's commentary about Exodus 20, verse 16 has to say. Not only false oaths, but all whispering, false tale-bearing, slander, in a word, whatever is given as truth, which in fact is false and tends to injure another in his goods, person, or character, is against the spirit and letter of this law. Suppressing the truth when known is a crime against the law. By the term neighbor, any human is intended, whether he rank among our enemies or our friends. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary notes that bearing a false witness is false lying evidence, not only in a court of justice, but in the common intercourse of life, by which another's life or character may be endangered, his interest affected, or his feelings wounded. If wounded feelings are enough to violate this commandment, we can be sure that only literally obeying the ninth commandment would not fulfill the full meaning of it as magnified by Christ. We also know that as children of God, the very thought that telling the truth would be limited to only one situation is ridiculous. There are many scriptures that can help us flesh out what Exodus 20, verse 16 means. Let's look at a few of them. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. In Colossians 3, verse 9. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, not just about one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We'll see other scriptures that tell us more about what God thinks as we go along. In Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, we see that Christ teaches us to go above the letter of the law to fulfill the intent of the law. Matthew 5, starting in verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. As Christ magnified this and all other commandments, we should keep that in mind. Something to consider in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 22. Ephesians 1, verse 22. The church is described as the body of Christ and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Ephesians 1, 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If that's the case, doesn't that mean that our example should be showing others the full meaning of the law, not just what the letter might say? Well, I believe it does. And here's a question for us to consider. As long as I don't lie, do I need to tell the truth? We all need to go beyond the not doing, such as not lying, stealing, or coveting, to the positive side of the law. The other side of not lying is being honest and truthful. So the short answer is, yes, we need to tell the truth. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia points out, from the earliest times, lying was considered a breach of the moral code. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament consider telling the truth a religious obligation. So we're not obligated to tell everything we know, but the underlying issue is, why are we telling or not telling? What is our motive? Are we trying to give or get something by withholding information? What are the long-term results going to be of telling or not telling what we know? We not only want to represent God truthfully, we want to remember that we will have to answer for everything we say, as we're told in Matthew 12. Let's turn there and note something. Matthew 12, 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. In the NIV and Revised Standard, the word idle is translated careless. These are the kinds of things that we say without thinking or without considering the consequences for ourselves or for others. So we're not obligated to say everything we know, but when we do speak, we need to carefully consider every word. Something else people have wondered about: what about people in the Bible who did lie and will be in the kingdom? From the very beginning of the Old Testament, there have been lies. No real surprise there, since Satan is called the father of lies in John 8. And Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden for accepting his lies. The International Bible Encyclopedia notes that, and I'll quote, many instances of lying are recorded in the Old Testament. Some lies are motivated by fear for one's own or another's safety. Cain killed his brother and then attempted to cover his sin with a lie. Both Abraham and Isaac lied about their wives out of fear for their own lives. Continuing, Sometimes lying is motivated by a desire for personal gain or advantage. At his mother Rebekah's instigation, Jacob deceived his father Isaac in order to obtain the blessing intended for Esau. Later, Jacob himself was a victim of deception by his uncle Laban. In other instances, lies are used to cover up other sins. Jacob's sons used deception to conceal from their father that they had sold Joseph to the Ishmaelite traders. In several instances, the scriptures even appear to commend people for using deception to gain a desired end. The Hebrew midwives are among examples of this. Let's go ahead and look at Rahab for a moment. Hebrews 11, verse 31, as well as James 2, 22, show us that Rahab was justified by her faith and her works, not by her lying. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. James 2, let's look at starting 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Yes, Rahab and many others lied, but we need to remember a number of things. If we know they're going to be in the kingdom of God, we know that they eventually repented of their lying. They're not going to make it into the kingdom because of their lying, but in spite of it. They're going to make it into the kingdom because of their faith. God did not tell them to lie. He could have worked things out without them doing that. Some of you may remember a message I gave at the feast one year in which I referred to a woman that was living in Nazi Germany who was asked to hide a Jewish youth until he could be moved to a safer location. Quoting from the story, the woman thought of her own young children who would be endangered by this action, but she couldn't send this boy to his death. For several days, all remained quiet. And then one afternoon, she answered the doorbell to three men from the Gestapo. They told her she was under suspicion of hiding a Jew in her apartment and reminding her of what would happen to her and her family if they found one. At this point, she began wondering whether God would forgive a lie if it would save the boy and her family. She thought, if I tell the truth, we are all lost. She prayed for wisdom, and God showed her how to solve the problem without lying, something we might all want to remember. Stepping out of the way, she said, if you want to, you may search my apartment. The man asked again, are you hiding a Jew? Again, she invited them to search the apartment. A third time, they asked, tell us, are you hiding a Jew? Opening the door wide, Helene motioned to the men, feel free to search the apartment. The men looked at each other, then without another word, turned and left. A few days later, the underground picked the boy up and moved him safely out of the country. Even when it seems that the only answer is to lie, God can work things out for us. God's law makes it clear that lying is never acceptable. God does not contradict himself when he says the exact thing twice in Proverbs 19, verses 5 and 9. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Ultimately, anyone who was or is a liar will perish. So we know that these individuals who lied had to repent of their lies. A final point in this section. The people that were mentioned in the Bible who lied were not habitual liars. Lying was not a way of life for them. They may have lied under duress, as any of us might have, or because they didn't yet know any better. What this shows us is that there's hope for all of us as long as we repent. Another question for us to remember, is it possible that sometimes lying can be okay? Some might argue that because certain people who lied will be in the kingdom, that lying can sometimes be okay. Now, accepting that argument would mean that sometimes it's okay to steal, to take God's name in vain, to kill. These things do happen, but without repentance, these people that do them will not be in God's kingdom. David committed adultery and murder, but that's not why he's going to be in the kingdom. Obviously, this kind of reasoning is not supported in the Bible. Are there any gray areas when we're free to use our best judgment, even if it involves a white lie? After all, we're told to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sometimes we might want to spare someone's feelings. What if you're asked, does that dress make me look fat? Or we might want to avoid embarrassment and tell ourselves that a little fib won't hurt. Actually, we probably don't even slow down to ask ourselves that question. Here's a clue for us. If we even think about using our best judgment, we know that it's not good enough. Let's look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:12, as well as 16:25, both tell us, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Man on his own doesn't judge well, especially when it concerns himself. What are God's feelings about lying? Well, let's look at the words in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who shows discord among the brethren. I think it's interesting that lying is mentioned twice. But thinking about it, the other five actions can get us involved in lying. Lying leads to other misconduct. Does a thief tell the truth? Is sowing discord often done with gossip and innuendo, both of which involve lying? God obviously hates lying because it's the direct opposite of his nature, and he hates it for what it does to his creation. Since our goal is to have the mind of God, that would include a mind that never lies. As a source of truth, God requires that his servants always speak truthfully, Psalms 15, verses 1 to 4 show us that God expects truth to permeate every facet of our lives. Psalm 15, starting in 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteously and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. The point is that the only righteous ones enough to even try to come into God's presence are the ones that are at least trying to hate what God hates. And that definitely includes lying. What about this question? Is a white lie really a big deal since everybody does it? Even us? Okay, we know it's not okay to tell an outright lie. And that's not what most of us do. We usually don't break this commandment out of maliciousness, but out of carelessness. We don't stay on guard. We shade the truth. We leave out part of it. We exaggerate it. We're not watching our words, forgetting that we will have to give an account of them. We're not aware that we're being influenced by the world that believes there's relativism and shades of gray. How do we end up telling lies? Well, sometimes we take credit for something we didn't do. This can happen at school, at work, or even at church. We can end up lying by not speaking up sometimes. How many of us have let others take the blame for something rather than fess up ourselves? And sometimes we fudge on a test or fudge on our income tax. Sometimes we don't give all the details. Sometimes we want to tell the truth, just not all of it. We want to leave out the parts that don't make us look good. Sometimes we skew the truth just a little or use a particular word that could be taken in many different ways. We play games with words. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves that something is not our particular problem. Well, that's called denial. That's why we're told to examine ourselves regularly. Sometimes we tell ourselves that something is someone else's fault, not ours. That's failing to take responsibility. Sometimes we act one way at church and another at home or school. Well, that's called hypocrisy, and that's just another kind of lying. Sometimes we shade the truth just a little so we can end up looking a little better. That's called vanity. Sometimes we're just telling people what we know they want to hear, whether we believe it or not. Politicians are particularly good at this. According to a study in the Journal of Nonverbal Behavior, and I'll quote, lying is a social skill that can help people get along. If we were always totally honest with other people, we would get ourselves in a lot of unpleasant situations. Telling people what they want to hear is a very good social tactic. That's the world we live in. It's also another form of hypocrisy if you say what you know people want to hear rather than what you personally believe, or if you know it isn't what God's word says. And sometimes we pass on lies without meaning to. We did it before we learned the truth when we went to church on Sunday or kept Christmas, or taught our children to do so. We were deceived and we didn't know this was false, but we were living and passing on lies, and that's something we had to be forgiven for doing. The question we need to ask ourselves regularly, is there anything that we're doing today that might be in that same category? It's not easy to be honest all the time. We live in a society where lying is a way of life. And of course, it isn't called lying. Sometimes it's called a spin or putting a slant on something. Well, just putting a nicer name on something doesn't change what it really is. In a culture that focuses on making ourselves look better than we are, we cover our mistakes, our inexperience, our weaknesses. We call it spin, but what does God call it? Lying. Anything less than the truth is what? A lie. The truth doesn't mean much anymore. We can tell the truth if it is convenient. We halfway expect to be lied to by certain individuals. Car salesmen, politicians, advertisers. The list could go on and on. Businesses know that if they want to stay in business, they have to be better than the competition. If there's absolutely no difference between their product and their competitors, what are they going to do? Well, they'll embellish or enhance the description of their product. Or perhaps they'll insinuate that their competitor's product has got something wrong with it. All around us, we can witness and read about how little the truth seems to matter anymore. Newspaper reporters make up stories and plagiarize other people's writings. Whether writing lies or signing their names to others' work, it only bothers them if somebody finds out about it. And then they're not bothered very long. Did you ever notice the pictures that newspapers choose to run next to the articles? If they're in support of someone, the picture that they show will show the person at their best. If they're trying to imply that the person did something wrong or doesn't have their support, they'll find an unflattering picture of the person. That's just a subtle form of lying. Students sometimes download other people's work and turn it in as their own. And even though it's so easy to check, people regularly put false information on resumes and job applications. Even though it may be embarrassing if someone's caught, there seems to be no great condemnation when it's discovered that something dishonest is going on. We can't run from the society that we're in. We've got to live in it, but we have to make conscious decisions to live differently. Learning to be consistently truthful requires self-discipline and courage. And if we hope to be in the kingdom of God, we must rely on his help. Lying, unfortunately, is an accepted way of life. Accepted by society, that is, not God. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we got to make sure that all the spots and wrinkles are gone, especially those that we've stopped being concerned about. Something else for us to consider. Lying is basically a character issue. A USA Today survey found that 82% of CEOs admitted lying about their golf scores. The probability that golf cheaters are also business cheaters is high. Little by little, we lower our standards so that what was unthinkable yesterday becomes acceptable today and rewarded tomorrow. A more recent study found that lying about money is the American way. Roughly 4 out of 5 Americans intentionally lied or acted deceitfully in one way or another for financial gain across a number of key categories. 4 of the categories mentioned were pocketing found money, such as in a wallet with clear identification, keeping quiet when undercharged or given too much change, buying something with the intention of using it once and then returning it, and withholding financial information on taxes. To me, the scariest part that was brought out in this article was members of Generation Y, adults born between the mid-80s and mid-90s, are the biggest liars of the bunch. What will they be teaching their children about whether lying is okay or not? One thing about the truth is that it doesn't change. It's not relative or adjustable. What people choose to do with the truth is, that's when they get into lying. That's where they try to ignore the truth entirely, or to put a spin on it, or to make it seem as if it is the truth, or ignore something completely if it's to their advantage to do so. Oh, the games that we can play. And does this sound like our goal, what our goal should be as Christians? Whether or not we might lie might be the most obvious sign of our character. When we lie, we show that we may want to save face. That's our pride getting in the way. Or we want to put ourselves first. Or we want to avoid responsibility or any blame. We want to build ourselves up by diminishing someone else. And perhaps more significantly, it shows that we're capable of abandoning our principles under pressure. Lying or not lying is foundational. The truth is that each of us is either honest or dishonest. God does not lie. It's not part of his character. We read in Titus that God cannot lie. It's also translated God who never lies. We need to learn the importance of living the truth, of using the Holy Spirit to help us have the character of God so we don't stretch the tooth, misstate, or base our lives on anything but the truth. The bottom line is that being honest requires self-discipline, something that most of us may hate to exercise. Just as Christ said, the truth shall set you free. It's also true that first it makes you uncomfortable. One of the problems with not being entirely truthful all the time is that lying can become part of our character. We can even think we're being truthful because we've told a particular lie so many times. And for us, that's become the truth. we sanitize the past. In our minds, we're not making it up, but we're doing damage to ourselves and to others because it's not the truth. The Nazi minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, stated that if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. Just because people believe it doesn't make it true. Few of us would be in this room today if we hadn't been made aware of some simple truths. For example, the Sabbath is not Sunday. God really does expect us to swim against the current. God really does expect us to put Him first and obey Him, even if everyone in our family tells us we're crazy. And perhaps the hardest of all truths to accept is this one. I'm not so good after all, so I'm going to have to change. The essence of our relationship with God is based on the truth. We believe that what He had recorded for us in the Bible is something we can believe in and depend on, because He does not, cannot lie to us. The basis of a good relationship with other people is also built on truth. As Christians, telling the truth should be a way of life for all of us. The Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. The first four commandments show us how to love God, and the last six, how to love our fellow man. When we remember this, we can see that the major harm of lying is a way to break down, it causes a breakdown in relationships. Lying erodes our trust in one another. Even though lies aren't meant to harm others, not all lies are meant to harm others, they ultimately do. Half-truths and white lies may hardly seem dishonest at all. Flattering excuses might seem to have a good reason behind them. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But a lie is a lie. Relationships are based on telling the truth. If you don't tell the truth, always, you can't have good relationships. Proverbs 21, verse 28. Proverbs 21:28 tells us, a false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. This shows us that one of the biggest problems with telling a lie is that even if it's found out, a lie can go on and on as it's repeated by others. We're all probably familiar with the story about the man who loved to pass on everything he knew about other people. Of course, he didn't always stick to the truth. One day he went too far and got called to the carpet by his minister. The minister told him to go get a feather pillow and cut it open. The next instruction was to gather up all the feathers and put them back in the pillowcase. Some of the feathers had already been caught up by the wind and carried off, and some had blown up the chimney, and some had ended up in the pond. The point was that just like his words could not be called back once they left his lips, neither could all the feathers be retrieved. Lying destroys. That should be no surprise, since one of Satan's names is Destroyer. It destroys relationships. It destroys trust. It destroys our good name. It causes division. It separates friends. It separates us from God. Not only can lying cause problems for ourselves and others in this present age, but the consequences of lying can be permanent. Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is confirmed in Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. God's kingdom has no place for liars. People who have adopted lying as part of their nature will end up in the lake of fire. We're not talking about people who occasionally slip and tell a lie, or even a lie by not saying something when they should be speaking up. We're talking about people who consistently have to make themselves look good either by exaggerating or putting others down. We're talking about people who don't stop and think about the consequences of what they're going to say, or who don't care about who might be hurt. We're talking about people whose very personality becomes that of a person who no longer recognizes how to be truthful. The point is, if we want to be in God's kingdom, we need to be putting on the character of God. And God does not lie. We're familiar with Christ's final prayer in John 17, where he makes the comment, "Thy word is truth." God doesn't tell us half-truths. The fact that God cannot lie is one of the most comforting facts there is. It means all of the promises he has made to us will be fulfilled. We can be forgiven for our sins. We can ask him for help in overcoming our weaknesses and sins. We can live forever. We can have the universe under our feet. But when he says he doesn't lie, it also means that there will be no liars in the kingdom. Lying is not a good long-term solution, but telling the truth is. Telling nothing but the truth would not only clean up society, in many ways, it could almost put the millennium into effect now. How could a man or a woman commit adultery when they promised to be faithful during their wedding ceremony? How could you steal what belonged to your neighbor, including his reputation, if you had to be honest about what you were doing? How could you make an image of God when you know the image would be a lie? Wouldn't it be nice to know that because there's no lying, everything could be accepted at face value? We know that if we saw the headline Elvis cited in Tarpon Springs, we know it was true. So where do we go from here? Since our lies usually come as a result of carelessness or from a lack of understanding about how important it is not to lie. How can we become known for telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? We need to make sure that all that we say is correct to the best of our knowledge. To be credible, our words must match our actions. We need to admit it when we don't know. Nothing makes people believe what you do know better than admitting what you don't know. Don't exaggerate. State the facts, only the facts. Accept responsibility for our own actions. Never pass on the blame to others. Keep confidential material to yourselves. Don't talk so much. Even the most honorable person can run the risk of saying the wrong things at the wrong time because of the fact that many of us love to talk and talk and talk. Consequently, we don't exert much effort to control our words. There's probably not a greater challenge that each of us has on a minute-by-minute basis than guarding our tongue and watching what we say. And we're not going to walk out of this room and never tell another lie. It'd be nice, but it's very unlikely. But we need to walk out of this room and recognize that lying is not harmless, and we should neither condone it nor practice it. If we're always honest, if we always tell the truth, there's no reason we'd ever need to use such phrases as to be honest, honestly, to tell the truth, truthfully. Using those words implies that the rest of the time we're not honest or telling the truth. Selfishly speaking, there's some good reasons to always tell the truth. You don't have to worry about having a good memory. You won't have one version for one person and another for another one. The truth is the truth regardless of who you're talking to. If people know you always tell the truth, you'll have a lot of credibility and you'll be trusted. There are many short-term benefits of telling the truth. I'll read what was experienced by one young lady. "Are you a leader?" the chancellor asked Jane during her admissions interview for college. Without hesitation, Jane replied, "No." "That will be all then," he said, the chancellor, dismissing Jane from the room. Jane left, figuring she'd just ruined her chances of getting into the school. Within a week, she received a letter from the chancellor, and her immediate thought was, boy, he doesn't waste any time sending out rejection notices. With a deep sigh, she opened the envelope. "Congratulations," it read. "With all the leaders enrolled in our program, we felt it was important to admit at least one follower. We look forward to seeing you next semester." There's definitely a long-term benefit to always telling the truth. And that is being in the kingdom of God. Even though I've stressed the fact that lying should not be a way of life for us, I think it's safe to say that we probably all still lie from time to time. It is such a hard sin to guard against and to know how to avoid. What we need to do is to be more conscious of what we say and why we're saying it. God measures the church by what it does with his law. Let's make sure that we're upholding all parts of his law to the best of our ability.